Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
With your unfailing love, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Father, we acknowledge that you are a good God and a faithful God. That's who you are. Thank you for describing us in your word. It's who we are. And we delight in reaching out and just touching the hem of your garment this morning. Thank you for your provision and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. As we said, 2016 is that year of grace and mercy. And by the time we get finished with this year, we're going to see something very profound that has taken place. I said at the beginning of the year that the bottom line is that God needs you. He needs us, and it's very important that we recognize that. Turn to somebody right now and say, do you know that God can't do it without you? He doesn't want to do it without us. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. This Sunday, on Tuesday, November the 8th, America will vote for the President of the United States. And how many people, is that a new revelation? Good. What I want us to do is, this is a special Sunday, and as we're approaching this election, and probably one of the most important decisions, elections, in the last 100 years, we're joining this morning, millions of Christians, tens of millions, that are praying. Pastors across this nation have come together and said that we need to underline the importance of what is going to take place and our responsibility. I want to talk about that because this election will probably have the effects for 40 to 50 years, two plus generations. The reason why is it's the Supreme Court. I want judges who will stand by the Constitution, not rewrite it. This nation is a nation built on some principles that I'll tell you about in just a moment. Voting, Sean, we're about ready. Voting is not political. This is not a political message to us, and you'll see that it's a spiritual message. I want to share something by way of video that Pastor Tony Evans, who is a tremendous pastor in Texas. We've had him men's ministries and Promise Keepers, and just really a fantastic speaker and impacts this nation. So I want you to listen to this video for a moment. It's very short, but it'll set the stage.
God is looking for a group of people who will stand in the midst of Democrats and Republicans and say, it ain't nothing till God says what it is. See, our problem is we've missed the kingdom of God and allowed the politics of men to divide the Church of Jesus Christ. And the church will never be able to stand in the culture as long as the politics of men can divide it along illegitimate lines. opposition is not for sale, and we stand with God.
Amen. God did not come to choose sides. He came to take over. And that's a very important truth. Again, for those listening online, I want to lay some foundational truths this morning. And you'll understand why this is so heavy on my heart. Thomas Jefferson, the third president, said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time." The instructions for the Virginia colony in 1606 said this: "Lastly and chiefly, the way to prosper and achieve freedom and good success is to serve and fear God, the giver of all goodness." These are the foundations in which this nation was built upon. John Adams, our second president, wrote, "Independence Day ought to be celebrated as the day of freedom by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." Benjamin Franklin said, "I've lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow can fall from the ground to the ground without his notice, it is improbable that an empire can rise and remain free without his aid." I think if you said that today, we'd literally be laughed off the stage. Daniel Webster says, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering in freedom." American roots have been deeply rooted in this spiritual legacy by our forefathers who established this nation under God. Very important. The recognition, they were almost, to a man, professing Christians who came to America in search of freedom. Christians wrote the Constitution. The idea that America would not be directed by the Word of God was not even conceivable to those men. In fact, that they did not even feel it was necessary to mention the word Christian in the Constitution. It was a done deal. That's the foundations. One nation under God. George Washington said, "It's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." How far have we come? How sad. What I want us to see this morning, 62% of Americans said they believe that God has given the United States a special role in history. Everything from the physical aid to nations in crisis. Who's the first one that gets there when there's earthquakes and upheaval in the world? The Americans. That's the basis of our country. That's because we are good people. Missionary outreach. One of the reasons why the world is Christians today is because of the missionaries that were sent out by the United States, going into different countries and teaching and doing that, setting up structure so that people could understand their Creator. Also, financial support. How many millions and millions of dollars have we lent to restore countries? Our personal and religious freedoms that we offer those who immigrate to this nation legally. Everybody say legally. The right to life, the liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what we offer to people. The right to life. I don't know if we appreciate this nation. If you've been in the military, you would. I lived overseas for many years, both in the Far East as well as in Europe. And let me tell you, There's no nation like this nation. There's nothing to be have the situations where we have and the freedoms that we have. Friends, we can't let this continue. We need to recognize that God wants to bless America. America is a land of freedom based on Judeo-Christian values. It's on these principles that God has blessed America to impact the world. These principles are in jeopardy and are being redefined. How many people know what I'm talking about? Our nation is built on godly principles which we have lost, especially in these last years. I'm using my notes here because I don't want to miss anything, and I don't want to go off into many tangents unless the Lord wants to interrupt. These principles that we have lost, especially in the last years, redefinition of our family, of the family. Over 70% of the Americans voted against the redefinition of marriage. 70%. The removing of prayer in the workplace and in schools. And then we blame God when there's no order. How come? Why did God let this happen? How could a loving God allow these terrorist activities? It's because we've told them to get out of it, to get out of the classroom, to get out of the workplace. This is not a political message. It's a spiritual message, and I want us to see this, that we recognize removing the religious foundations of this nation. How many places that had the Ten Commandments that was one of the foundational principles in courthouses or whatever, they're removed. We're not allowed to look at that any longer. The very things that made America strong are no longer a part of this nation. Redefining our moral perspectives. I suppose my father passed away a couple years ago, and I'm wondering how that generation saw the generation that we were in, my generation, the changes that took place. Now, for my son's generation, I can't believe how everything that we stand for is being redefined. If it's okay, do it. If there is a structure that's set, then we have the ability, it says, to redefine what marriage is. Well, let me share some more things. The promoting of alternate lifestyles beginning in kindergarten. Now, I said the promoting. In fact, even with a sense of acknowledging it in a way that makes it something to pursue. LGBT, neutral gender identification. I'm not against anyone. And if you're a Christian, we're not against anyone. But when they take out the understanding of the word boy and girl out of schools, then no wonder the confusion that's going on. When I don't have I have one granddaughter. To think that she would go to school and have a man come in to that restroom because he leans towards the female side. Folks, can you imagine the grieving on God's heart? We've got some responsibility. Promotion of taxpayer-funded abortions. Do you know you are paying for abortions? 3,000 per day. We're having to pay for this. And I believe very strongly that you can redefine something however you want. But a baby is a baby. I don't care whether you call it a fetus or a kumquat. I knew you. God said, in your mother's womb, before we were born. And now we have the ability to be able to say, well, we're just going to redefine it. And we're not going to call it a baby any longer. We'll call it a fetus. And it's not viable unless it's outside of the mother's body. And then, to be able to have third trimester abortions. And there are those that are voting today for that third trimester. The baby is formed. They see the heartbeat. They see moving, and you can tell the mental activity. And as long as that baby is in the mother, or mostly in the mother, then it is still a fetus. Can you imagine how sad it makes God? I've had to deal, and God loves everyone. Some of the hardest things that I've had to deal with in counseling as a pastor over the years is women who were young, unknowledgeable, and took the beliefs that it's okay. And then come back after a year, 2 years, or whatever it might be, and say in my office, Pastor, I need God's forgiveness. And I said, why? He said, because I killed my baby. And when that revelation hits a woman, it is devastating. I had one that committed suicide. There's only one person that can take that guilt away and restore that person, and that's Jesus Christ. And we're saying to him, get out, we don't want your information, your revelation. And we can't understand why our nation is suffering. Lawlessness, open borders, terrorist attacks. It's totally changed our nation. If you don't believe that, try to get on an airplane when you're running late. Take off your shoes. Fearful, going to airports, any large meetings. There's a terrorist attack that's being promoted for Tuesday. ISIS is saying, we want you to bomb as many locations as possible during elections. And the American people, for the first time in hundreds of years, we're afraid to go outside. We're afraid to send our kids outside, looking around behind us to make sure that someone is not sneaking up on us. The lawlessness that's come. Who would believe for a moment that people would actually shoot policemen? The divisions in this nation. Divide and conquer. The whites against the blacks against the whites, and against the Hispanics, and back and forth and whatever. We are a nation not in unity anymore. A divided nation cannot stand. And if you think I'm evangelistically speaking, which means I'm overdoing, you know the truth. And if we don't know and understand the truth, the opposite is of freedom, and that becomes bondage. You shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. When you don't know the truth, or you're buying a lie, you are in bondage. Amen or oh me? Government influence in every aspect of our lives. Schools, hospitals, even the rewriting of our Constitution. How's Obamacare working out for you? Well, let me tell you something, just between you, me, and the fence post. It was there to fail. Obama and the people that wrote it did not want it to succeed. That's why it's fallen apart. You think he's sad about that? You think they are? They want it to succeed. You know why? They want one payer run by the government, your insurance. There's only one person where you can get insurance from, and the government is the single payer. What's trying to be done, if you noticed, I had the statistics, I can't remember them, but the government influence into our society today, everything from student loans to rewriting the teaching process and the curriculum. I don't think I can answer some of those questions in Common Core, because they don't do it the right way, or do it teaching how to completely different, moving the whole understanding of America. It's not being taught. History of America is not being taught in our schools. There's a reason for it. You take away the foundation, and what you can do is you can redefine it. We must regain the principles on which this nation was built. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's the Declaration of Independence. Not by a few. Not by those that are elected to spend their lives in Congress and in the Senate. They are supposed to be representing us. And right now, the Congress and the Senate has the lowest approval rating, less than 20%. And Congress is less than that. Not for the people, not by the people, but by a small group of politicians who we have allowed to lie to us, because politicians lie. That's what they do. Well, folks, I got some news for you. In fact, I've got good news. How is this done? The answer is that we vote. Everybody say vote. Your voice, your choice. We used to say, well, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't vote, you will be complaining. Because what's happening today, and you can tell that I'm serious, what's happening today is something that we need to call back. It's important. There are many reasons why people vote. That will be voting this Tuesday. Some out of a desire to seek to do their civic duty. Others to vote to promote or oppose some candidate or special interest. But as Christians, our reason should be different. By voting, we should be seeking to glorify God with our participation in the political process. It's a completely different thing than politics. God is the one that formed this nation. We need to allow Him back into this nation. And how we do that is not sitting back and say, well, whatever, my vote doesn't count. 3.6 million Christians didn't vote in the last presidential election. Sat home and said, whatever. 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 And for those years, I've been saying, whatever. And I felt that the control of our country was being taken away from us. And not only taken away from us, redefined. We know we will account to God for our lives here on earth. So we must vote with biblical discernment and prayerful consideration. It's not about politics. It's not about you don't like. Let me tell you something. There's only one perfect person. There's only one perfect, and he's not here any longer. Let me share with you some things. as those who enjoy the benefits of religious liberty and freedom to proclaim the gospel, we should be actively engaged as good stewards of these rights by voting for those who support our freedom. Why should Christians vote? Voting publicly recognizes that we acknowledge the political system established by God. Do you know that the political system, the structure that this nation was set on, is a God thing? What up the structure? When you see right from the very beginning with the Israelites, in fact, you go back to the Garden of Eden, there was a structure that was set up by God for man to follow. We are to pray for this structure and pray for those in leadership. And I'll tell you, I have done a lot of praying this last couple years, a lot of praying. We have to understand that when we're talking about these things, it's not an option for us as Christians. God is the one that established. And let me tell you something. When you do what God wants, then He blesses. He can bless. And He wants to bless America again. Next, voting is a way we can do something about godly direction in our nation. Edmund Burke wrote, and this is so true, "All is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing." I told you before, there's a yin and a yang. One yin we'll call God. The yang we'll call the enemy. There's so much space, and that's it. Who has that space depends on who is trying to fulfill that place, that space. If we provide a void by our inaction, the enemy will fill it up. But if we press back, taking the land that the enemy has possessed, then he is diminished. And that's why it's so important that we recognize we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to help again. Now we recognize that 40 to 50 years are going to be influenced by this next election. And quite forgetting about stuff. How many people? Sick and tired. I'm sick and tired. In fact, I'm tired of being sick and tired. I listen to it. I want to be informed. I believe that we need to be informed. There's not a third party out there, folks, and I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. Unless you ask me. Last one, voting as a part of our stewardship, our responsibility to use the resources we have been given in ways that honor God. Stewardship. What does stewardship mean? It means overseeing. God has given to us this nation the most influential group in this nation. Is not what we think it might be. The most influential group in this nation is the Christian community, the church. If the church would vote according to a way I'm going to show you, then we would literally overwhelm and take back this nation. I don't know about you, but I love America. Going over and living overseas, you come back to this nation, it's just like, my gracious. We were over in Europe, and my father said, I can't remember this, but when we got off of coming back from France, we lived over there for about 5 years. He said, you got off the plane, and you kissed the ground. I didn't remember that, but I've seen a lot of people do it. This nation is special. And I'm sad to say that we're being laughed at overseas. We're being taken advantage of. Our enemies are mocking us. Our military is being reduced to the point of pre-World War II. And quite frankly, that breaks my heart. When we were overseas, it used to be, as an American, it was just like, oh, these are Americans. Both in Europe and in the Far East. Americans. Now, you go over to Europe, they laugh at you. We're no longer powerful. We're no longer the defenders of this nation, of this world. And I'm not for running into every place just to be the policeman of the world. I'm for whatever it takes to defend this country. Whatever it takes to defend this country. And there will be wars, and God says there will be wars and wars and wars. And what happens when we pull back? We see it today. The void has been filled. And now we have terrorists all over the world saying, we give money to people who said that we're going to destroy you. And by the way, that's Iran. And Iran, if you remember your history, was the place of Nebuchadnezzar that brought God's people into bondage. And Iran is going to be a major, and has promised to be a major assault against Israel. And Israel is the apple of God's eyes. And Iran, the Palestinians, the Iranians, Iraqi, Saudi Arabia, all those who come from Ishmael, from the beginning of time, Ishmael and Isaac, the warring, and I've told you this, the seed from Abraham, one was done by a surrogate, a non-Israelite, and he had Ishmael. Then God told Isaac, told Abraham, no, you're going to have a child by your wife who was 90 years old. And she laughed. And she said, well, tell you what, we don't have any children, but you can have my handmaiden. Then we will have a child. How many know that when man tries to figure out, do things, we mess things up? So eventually, as you know the story, Isaac is born from Sarah. But the contention between these two, one are the Jews, the other are the Arabs. God says, I'm going to bless both nations because it came from Abraham. But there will be war. And if you read the New Testament, the Battle of Armageddon is going to be those who amass against Israel and Israel. How could you possibly, a little postage stamp country coming against the world in the Battle of Armageddon? Russia, Europe. For the first time since the beginning of this nation, the United States is not pro-Israel. God says, those who bless my Israel will I bless, and those who do not will I curse. For the first time. Oh, they say it, but then they go back around and they give armament. We give armament to those who have purposely spoken that their purpose is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And this little bitty postage stamp, at the end times, First of all, I said, you want to know when the end times are? Scripture says, he told Israel through one of the prophets, Israel, the whole, every nation of the world is going to turn against you. That's why I know we're close, folks. Turn to somebody and say, but we can still turn this around. For the first time, I know a lot of people are just brain dead. I don't want to hear anymore. Pastor, let's preach on something else. What do you want me to preach on? Tell you what, how about if we preach on what God said to preach on? First time in the history of the United States have we said to Israel, we are not following you. And we need Israel. We desperate, not from a political side only, but from a spiritual side. And we are told to pray for Israel. So in this process of our dealing this, what we are doing is we have stewardship. I told you the story that there was a pastor that brought some people to Israel, Christians to Israel, and in one of the gardens there. And a lady came up to him afterwards because he was praying, his preaching. And he said to the she said to the pastor, he said, "Thank you for what you're saying." She said, "When you go back to America, tell the church, the Christians, they are the only ones standing with us." Let me tell you the end of the Battle of Armageddon. How are we doing? It's 1:00. We're late. Actually, we're ahead of time. Let me tell you the end of the Battle of Armageddon. When Russia and China and Iran and Iraq and all of the people, all of the nations of the world, they are going to move towards Israel. Millions, armament. You know what's going to happen? How many know that when God makes a commitment, he never lets it go, never lets it down? Are they going to be surprised? Because with all of this armament and all these nations, what's going to happen? We're going to hear in the heavenlies that Christ comes back with the armies, the Lord of hosts. And they are going to, he is going to, and their army is going to destroy everyone that is turned against Israel. And it says that the blood will be as high as the bridle of a horse. There will be explosions, lightning, all these kinds of things that are going. They didn't have explosions and lightning back there when this was. They had rocks and steel shields and swords. How many know that when a bomb goes off, it seems like God's going to come down and redeem? And by the way, we're going to be with them. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't have time to get into the eschatology, but we're going to come with them. We're going to come with the hosts. You're a host. And we're coming back to establish God's kingdom here on earth. And Israel is going to see. Is going to see their Messiah. And for those who say Yeshua, Meshua, they're not Christians. They're completed Jews. We're Christians. We didn't have other gods. But we are tapped in. We're part of the tree of Abraham. We've been plugged into it. Abraham started the nation, the Jews. And when God said to Abraham, take your son. Remember the sacrifice time? He said something else. He says, take your son, your only son. Your only, well, did God make a mistake? Take your son, your only son, and go and sacrifice him. God loves Israel. And we have stewardship. We have stewardship over this nation and for those of the things that God loves. That's why America has been given all the resources. And what have we done with it? We'll print more money. Print more money. In the last 8 years, the debt has doubled. In the last 8 years, more debt than all the previous presidents since the beginning in the last 4.5 years. Since the beginning of time of this nation. That's the concept of the big government. And we just print more money. Not only, who cares? Print some money. And we go, trillions. Trillions. How many of you know that's more than a million? In debt. And what does that do to a nation? We become borrowers. And people like our enemies hold our debt. And we have to cater to them. We're almost finished, by the way. How do we vote? How do we vote? We compare the party's platform with Scripture. You can Google it. You look at what one party says, and you look at what the other party says, and you find out the one that has the important process that aligns itself with Scripture. And I could say, I'm pausing, see if the Lord wants me to stop or not say. I've done a lot of research, let's just put it that way. And it's pretty clear. Pretty clear. What they try to do is they try to freak you out. I can tell them my opinion. They try to freak you out and say, if you talk politics in the church, then they're going to take away your 501c3. So that means we are no longer tax exempt. Well, they've been trying to do that for a long time, by the way, and most people don't know it. But how many know when you're on God's side, He protects us. And what we do, you vote according to the most that line up with what we believe in. There's things that on both parties. But it's clear from the biblical perspective, yin and yang, the importance is that we recognize it's time for us, our families, our church, and our nation to rise and take that position and declare the principles on which this nation has been built on again. God bless America. And He has. But we say also, America, bless God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, no arrogance, no pride. No lack of doing what God has told us to do. And their rebellious ways, which means anything that's not of God. Then, and pray. Then, he says, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal your land. When the church recognizes who we are, that we have been given as a gift to this nation because we know God, and we take that position back from which we've given away, and we've allowed things to be redefined, we've allowed things to be manipulated, we who are the majority are being led by a minority. And I know that it breaks God's heart. Because he said, I know the plans that I have for you. Let me tell you something on the side here. God's got everything under control. Right? I know who I'm voting for. I'm going to do my right, what God requires of me to do. I'm going to tell those that I minister to do what God has told us to do. And then, like everything else, we put it into God's hands. I am not afraid of the future. But I'll tell you one thing, I want to affect it. That's why we're here on earth. That's what I've been talking to you this whole year. God needs us to reestablish what he gave us. Christians, the Christian vote, Sean, the Christian vote is going to play a very important part of this election. There are no perfect. We don't have a third candidate. You pray and ask God. I saw the book with all the statutes and how many people are going to, are absentee ballots? Anybody? They're even saying, be careful. You should take your absentee ballot and don't put it in the mail. Take it to the place and voting place. Hand it to them. I was going to do that, but I put it in the mail. God, I told Pat, we pray, sealed it up, prayed over it, put our hands on it. I took my anointing oil, totally covered. It's going to get to the right place. The Christian vote. If we rise up, then this nation can be turned around. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of this country. I'm proud of what we stood for. And like me, I'm sure you are, want to see it come back and once again be that light on a hill for the glory of God. Amen? I want you to bow with me. How about that? People are looking like, wow. When you said it, don't quit. If you said all you're supposed to, don't keep talking. Amen. Father, thank you again for this nation. Thank you for the privilege of being an American. Thank you for the privilege of having the freedom that we have to honor you, to pray, and to be a nation that impacts the world. Father, it's our heart's desire that you would again move us, help us move in that place where we again hold our heads up high and say, I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray. In your holy name, amen. Amen. I'm going to close this by one of my favorite songs, and I'm proud to be an American. Stand with me. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Amen.
Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who
Take your neighbor's hand. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister that you would speak with wisdom and the choices. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that we can take a stand. I pray for their peace. I pray for health. I pray for wisdom. Pray for protection. And we pray for your presence. Thank you that you know exactly what's going to happen in the days ahead. Thank you, Lord, that we can rest in that and know that you truly are in control. Thank you, Father, for that assurance. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I release your blessings upon your people and those online. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides and directs us. Thank you for the wisdom that you will give to us. For anyone who lacks wisdom, let them ask. And God freely gives. Thank you for that confidence. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And all God's voting Christians said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Turn around and give somebody a hug. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.